I got money on my bees, cause I'm gaining all these honeys. I got money is the virus, cause these niggas acting buggy. I got money.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Genuine Content Podcast with your hosts Jay and Josh. Jay, it's been an eventful couple of weeks for both of us. This seems like it's been forever ago, but it's really all not that long. But we're recording April 2nd. Talk to us, man. What's good in life?
It's crazy because when you think about it in terms of recording, it's probably a while. I mean, for the listeners, you don't think that because obviously this is a bi-weekly episode. But man, we haven't done a recording in actually a while, like 3 weeks. It's a lot of life events. But now that things kind of settled down for me, I don't know if you can see it in my face. I'm like tired, but I'm exhausted, running on E. But man, my wife finally gave birth to our baby girl, Aaliyah, on Wednesday. So all my energy has been going to her, to both of them. And man, it's a surreal feeling. I don't think it's really truly hit me like that, but you know, you just don't know. Or if you're ready for parenting until it happens, and I'm just kind of going with the flow right now.
That's incredible news, man. And congrats to you and the missus on bringing in new life. Wish you the best. I know you, you're probably, rest is probably a very, very strong currency for you both right now, I would imagine.
It's expensive, man.
When rest is a taxing process, I get it. You got interest on that now.
Hey, but enough about me, man. Like, you just got married, right? You got married 1 week, and the next week or a few days later was the birth. So I was like, man, a lot happened. But tell me about this marriage. There's this wedding that unfortunately I missed.
Yeah, we're moving forward, man. But hey, you were there in spirit, first and foremost, man. We could not have the vibes without you there, man, energy-wise. Beautiful day. When they say it's the best day of your life, it's legit. Yeah, absolutely. It was such a great day.
It'll be your second.
What's up? Uh-oh.
It'll be your second.
Oh, because of what happened a few days after, huh?
Yeah, whenever you experience it, it'll be your second favorite day.
All right. The mentor speaks, so I'll keep that in pocket. But for now, it is definitely the greatest day of my life. And I would like to keep it that for a couple moments, if you don't mind. But it was the greatest day, man. It was beyond anything that I could have ever imagined. It was such a great ceremony reception. I could not stop crying. I know the running joke is is the groom gonna bust out in tears? Answer is yes. I ugly cried multiple times. I kept it together for the most part during the ceremony, but right afterwards when we were about to go into like photos, yeah, waterworks, faucet.
And you know the when the alcohol's flowing, that don't help either.
Nah, man. I mean, the vibes were heavy. It was cool. I actually I really didn't party hard on wedding day. I you know, like everybody else is kind of like partied more than like the bride and groom, because you just don't have access to a lot of stuff. You're just moving around the whole time.
As you,
shoot, man, we didn't have food or drinks kind of slipped our way or anything like that.
Oh, no, that's true. That's true. Yeah. The food thing. So. I don't even think I ate my wedding cake. And we had an ice cream cake too, specifically because I don't like regular cake. I like ice cream cake, and I don't think I even ate it.
I had maybe two bites. There was just so much going on. Everything came out beautiful. It was such a great celebration with family, friends, loved ones, all the same. Couldn't have asked for a better day, a better moment. Truly remarkable. I'll never forget it. Even though they say it goes by like super quick, you don't remember everything, or like I remember pretty much everything from that day. It's a blur. It's fast, but I remember it all.
Yeah, I remember it all. I remember mine too. And still a blur, but yeah. And I was pretty drunk on mine, so but I still remember. I wasn't sloppy.
Right, right. Well, hey, man, on to the next moves, right? I mean, growth continues. We still got our directions to take. Obviously, you know, you have moved into fatherhood and me now, married man. It's great vibes. But let's move into the main topic of discussion, which is kind of on brand with what we're kind of moving through, especially the two of us. You know, our roles as individuals and men have changed recently, and we're going to talk a little bit about masculinity. We're going to talk about the good, bad, ugly. You may have heard this term of toxic masculinity. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And we have a special guest to assist us in this conversation. TJ, I give you the floor to introduce yourself, what you're doing these days, and we're happy that you're here to spend this moment with us to talk about this topic. It's great.
And welcome to the Genuine Content family, first and foremost.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm really glad to be here. I'm super excited and stoked to be here. You know, well, I'm a trans man, so for those that may not know, I'm transgender, so I was assigned female at birth and transitioned to be a man. And I also work in educating people about what it means to be a part of the community. I work for a nonprofit called the Yes Institute, where we help to prevent youth suicide for those that are a part of the community. And we do a lot of education on communication, on, you know, gender orientation to help people understand those identities. So that's a little bit about me. I'm also born and raised in Miami, Florida. Currently live in Miami. And yeah, I actually met these two in college, so that's kind of like a little bit of our history, but really glad to be here.
305, baby.
Hey, so I'm gonna go a little tangent just for one moment. TJ, on the last hour of the reception, when it was all Dade County, Lauderdale vibes, like what was going through the mind? Like how was the energy when it was all bopping and juking?
Oh, it was super lit. Like, it just took me back to like high school days, middle school days of just playing around. Like, the whole vibe was awesome. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah. Jay, I'm telling you, man, the DJ snapped that last, like, yeah, 35 minutes of the party. It was all South Florida vibes. It was all Tri-County, man.
Yo, it's never a Florida wedding without that. Especially, I think at my wedding, we did the same thing. And even now, like even to this day, like if for anyone in the South Florida area, like Saturday noon, you put 99 Jams, they got the Hangover mix. I listen to that every Saturday, man. They play all of the classics, man. Always reliving those days.
Oh yeah.
My knees don't let me get back all the way down.
The knees, they're done.
Hey, that's the struggle we all deal with, man. We can't beat time. You already know. But DJ, if you don't mind sharing a little bit about your story when it comes to gender identity, your transition process, like what was all that like for you? And you can take it from the top or wherever you feel comfortable. Like, just illuminate us on everything that you have experienced to this point.
Yeah, sure. So growing up, I was kind of more of a tomboy. You know, I played basketball. I dressed very casually, wearing jeans, T-shirts. And so, like, my mom was very much kind of like, as long as you don't do anything that gets you in trouble, I'm okay with it. And she let me express myself however I wanted to. So I did that, but I really wasn't comfortable within my own skin too much, because when I tried to relate to, like, other girls growing up, I felt very different. Like, their world was a completely separate world than mine. But I related so much easier to the guys, and it just felt natural. So there are even instances, like, my mom would tell me when I was being potty trained that I would try to stand up to pee. And so it was like, it was from that young age that she even noticed that there was something different about me, but couldn't pinpoint what it was, because I didn't know the word transgender. I had never heard it before until I got to college. And so, you know, in high school, now everyone's having crushes on people, and I'm having crushes on girls and just thinking that that's totally normal. I had a friend come up to me and just tell me, like, I think you're a lesbian. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that label. Like, so I went without identifying as anything for a very long time, just because it felt really too confusing to focus on it. So then fast forward, I get to college, and I had always grew up around Greek life growing up. Like, a lot of my mentors were in sororities and fraternities. So I knew about Greek life, and that was always interesting to me. So I get to college freshman year, and I'm like, okay, let me try to fit this woman box as much as I can. So, like, my first instinct is, let me join a sorority, because I see them around campus, like, you know, all the work that they do. I really think that it'll help me to figure out what's going on with me internally. So I join a sorority, have a wonderful experience, meet some amazing people, but I'm still grappling with this discomfort within my own body. So I end up going to this retreat that the university hosts, and I meet a trans guy for the first time. And that's where I learned about, like, gender orientation, everything. And, you know, it just blew my mind, like, hearing his story of how he came about himself. And it just aligned so much with what I was struggling with. So I started doing research, looking into it, and I go, okay, being like transgender, that's like that missing puzzle piece for me. And, you know, the next step is really just to, like, start socially transitioning. So I started going by TJ. I cut my hair, start, you know, dressing more comfortable in the clothing that I feel comfortable in, which is more masculine presenting. And, you know, it just felt natural. It just felt like, okay, finally, the way that I feel on the inside is aligning with how I look on the outside. And the next step was then to tell people that I felt comfortable with to disclose to. So I came out to my sorority sisters, and they were kind of just like, so are you quitting? Like, do you still want to be a part of the org? And I was like, well, if you let me still be a member, then, oh, yeah, of course. And I was also, like, the vice president in charge of recruitment. So it was kind of awkward. You have somebody who's, like, who's man now trying to recruit people to join a sorority. So I took the decision to kind of step back and not, you know, have as much as a leadership role, just to help out with not, you know, causing more confusion while I'm still trying to figure myself out. And so, you know, I end up looking into, like, what it means to medically transition. And then I tell my mom, and I come out to her, and she's just like, I don't really know what this means either, but we're going to walk through it together. And the first thing she told me was, just hold off on telling the rest of your family, because we don't know, like, how they're going to react. And her biggest thing was my safety, because now I'm going to be going around the world as a Black man. And so I start to look into, like, what it means to medically transition. And I start getting on, learning about, like, hormone therapy. So taking testosterone. And I decide that's the process that I want to go through. And if I find a doctor, I find a therapist, and start going through therapy to get the letter that I need to start going to hormone therapy with my doctor. And then had a wonderful process with just all the changes. I started growing facial hair, my voice deepened, my body composition changed. And it really just helped me to feel more like the person that I felt like I needed to be, and saw myself, envisioning myself being in the future. So that's kind of where I am now.
Thank you for sharing that. That was that's a lot. I'm actually pretty brave of you for even going into that detail. Kind of, it's funny, like you were saying, we met in college, and when Josh said, it was Tiffany, right? That's what you went.
Yeah.
It was TJ. And then when he told me everything, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, and then, like, now seeing you, everything, I'm putting, like, a face to everyone. I'm terrible with names, but so, like, I knew you from before then to now. And I think when you said, I wrote this down, because I think this probably would be my reaction too. Like, when you said you told your sorority, and it wasn't, like, anything negative. It was just, like, almost like a, so what? Like, are you still with us, though, right? Like, that's how I got from it. I'm like, I think that's a great reaction, right? It's like, I don't really care about that. Are you still, like, are you still part of the org? Because, like, we still have a connection. We still have a bond. And that's, at least for me, like, when you join Greek life, it's all about that bond. And, like, I can say, like, confidently, like, without the joining the fraternity, like, I don't think I will ever met Josh. And we have a strong bond to this day, over 10 years. So it doesn't matter if I have a bond with people specifically or how many people. I have, like, a handful of bonds, and that's all that mattered, in my opinion. It was worth it in the end. So to hear that you're, I guess, the sorority sisters had that, like, so what, like, not a negative so what reaction, but, like, kind of a, like, oh, whatever, we care about you. think that's a great reaction. It's like it should be almost a normal reaction. So I think that's pretty great to hear that, how accepting they were.
Yeah, for sure. And I wasn't expecting that either, but I'm glad that I got it.
I mean, I think in a lot of ways, it's a testament to your organization, your chapter, and the individuals that comprise, you know, the organization and chapter respectively. That just goes to show you just how awesome they are and how understanding they are as well. TJ, if you don't mind me asking, I want to circle back on a couple of things that you had mentioned, especially with regards to, you know, your career seemingly is around educating other people now to kind of, you know, help them with their walk of life. And you also kind of understood, you know, the own, I guess, mental grind that it was that you had to take when it came to the clinical aspect of it, the mental aspect. So I want to ask you real quick, when it came to, you know, you seeking out therapy for it as well, like, what was that process like? Was it was it a healthy experience for you? Could you kind of elaborate there real quick?
Yeah. So at first it was a little bit of a challenge just trying to find the right therapist that would understand, because a lot of people, I was like their first trans client that they would see. But I did eventually find the right therapist and just talked to her about everything I was going through. And she just told me, you know, well, these are the steps if you want to medically transition. And this is what you would have to do. I would have to diagnose you with gender dysphoria and then give you a letter that you then have to take to an endocrinologist to then start the process. And so then I had to have a label on me saying that I have, you know, this mental issue in order to start the process to become the person that I see myself as.
Man, I hate that. Like, I remember
in my field,
I had to study the DSM-5. And like, even to this day, like, I was talking to somebody about it maybe a few weeks ago. And the fact that gender dysphoria, right? That's what the fact that that's considered a mental health diagnosis. I'm like, it blew me when I was in school for my master's for this. And I had to take the state board, and I think I took it 2018. And like, even now, just like, I can't believe that's a thing. Like, they did a new revision to the DSM-5, and that's still there. I'm like, oh my God, like, two step forward, one step back with this.
Yeah. And the way that I like to think of it is more gender euphoria, because now I know who I am and I relate more to myself physically and mentally as well. So that's how I like to see it instead.
Right. Like, I like the reframing, because it's a moment of self-actualization and self-awareness, as opposed to the opposite that people like to label it as. We've got your story and we appreciate that. And thank you so much for kind of, you know, lending that element of experience and expertise to this discussion. We have a pretty jam-packed episode.
And TJ says something really good that's going to, I think, transition very well to, like, the episode when he talked about masculine appearance. I wrote that down. I think that was perfectly said for this episode, which I'll let you continue more about.
For sure. So we're going to get in the weeds of masculinity, toxic masculinity, and we're going to talk about it in the framework of a couple of magazine covers that have shook the social media world, if you will, Vogue magazine and Ebony magazine respectively. Have recently published magazines that have challenged masculinity in more ways than one, depending on, you know, your thoughts on the matter. I'm sure that most have seen these clippings or these photos. They're not hard to come by, even if you're not subscribed to these pages, they will come around. You've probably seen it. Jay, talk to us about the current event that we are going to be discussing, and then we'll take a deeper dive into it and what it all kind of means in the grand scheme of things.
All right, thanks. It's gonna be a great topic, and thank you again. Before we go, thank you, TJ, for being here. A different perspective is always good, especially what we strive for here in this podcast. A few months ago, there was I'll start with the first one, the the Vogue magazine shoot came out with Rihanna and ASAP Rocky. I want to say this release either before or after. It was around the time when she announced her new pregnancy, and around that time, you see Rihanna in the front. She's leading the way, I guess. And you see ASAP with their baby, kind of taking a step back from it. And a lot of drama came behind it because it's like, you're supposed to be the man of the relationship. And he's taking all this hits. Like, well, you're not too much of a man. You let your woman be ahead of you. You know, she's the breadwinner. Like, all these things, very much the opposite of masculinity. And that was the main thing. I think that kind of was stirred the discussion. But what really, really, like, I think took it over was the Ebony shoot with Jonathan Majors. And as everyone knows, or probably knows now, like, Jonathan Majors, he's huge now. He's a really huge actor. He was up and coming since I knew him from The Blood Five, that Spike Lee movie on Netflix. Pretty great movie. But I think what he really got his start was from, Lovecraft Country. Is that the name of it? I didn't watch that one.
Yeah, Lovecraft Country.
But that's the huge one, because I know Lovecraft, that's a very popular subgenre, a lot mm-hmm. of books. And so I think, and it was on HBO, so of course, huge. And then from there, he finally got the role of King of the Conqueror in the MCU. He had these other movies. I forgot the one with the aviator one. I mean, Josh spoke off screen about. He recently did Creed 3. Awesome movie, by the way. So now he really has a name for himself. And with the time of Creed 3, he did a photo shoot. And if you look on Ebony, he has a lot of pictures where it gets like the softer side of him, where I'm looking at one right now and it's a jacket full of pink flowers, I'm assuming roses, and he's covering him with a pink background. Or you have him with a red background, and it's just his boxer or underwear or something. He's holding a bunch of roses, and a lot of them are with roses. And apparently, a lot of people are calling him out, showing this quote-unquote feminine side of it. He's not masculine, not tough, and I mean, he had, like, I think one of the best responses to it. He was like, don't question my masculinity. Like, I know what makes me masculine. If you have a problem with it, maybe there's something wrong with you, or maybe you're not comfortable in your own skin, which is, like, perfect. So, and that's, like, what really kind of drove this discussion. Me and Josh, our group of friends, we know people. They'll say comments, and it's very much, in my opinion, the old way of thinking. The old masculine way of thinking. And I guess we really want to discuss here in this episode, like, what is masculinity, and like, why are we attacking ASAP and Jonathan Majors for showing maybe a different side of it? Or like, what's our definition, and what's our experience with this toxic masculinity as we speak?
Yeah, so as you can see, we have a very loaded episode, loaded topic, because there's so many different ways in which you can take it. I'll take the first stab at defining masculinity, because I think it's just as fluid as any other aspects of gender identity that you could really consider, because there's been a large evolution of masculinity over the years. And I'm not just talking about recent generation, but over the thousands and thousands and millions of years of, you know, existence, there's been different elements of masculinity, right? In recent, I guess, climates, if you will, and I'm mainly speaking on kind of Western culture, there is kind of a prevailing thought that masculinity has more extroverted related qualities related to like assertiveness, leadership. Breadwinning has been for, I would say, dozens of years, a major point of validation, I think, when it comes to being a man, when it comes to manhood, and when it comes to masculinity as a whole. And recently, with kind of the loss of like industrialism and a shift to different forms of economy, labor, etc., you have this, I would almost say, I don't want to even call it crisis, but you have this shift of what masculinity is because it's not as physically based as it used to be. And now we're in this world where there's a lot of contention regarding what you should or shouldn't wear, what you should and shouldn't say, what you should and shouldn't think. I hearken back to, and Jay, you know me, and you know how much I mess with R&B. In high school, the 2006, 2007 song with Music Soul Child, Teach Me.
Love that song. I saw him in concert last year, and he played it. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I love music, so.
Epic song. And, like, he opens with, you know, I was told the true definition of a man.
Yeah, a man was to never cry.
Work till you die, got to provide, et cetera, et cetera. And so that really, you know, emphasizes kind of what men have been taught, whether socially or within households. I would say that's a very central theme of it. And I think we're seeing that kind of clash now with a new era of individualism and not necessarily pushing back your feelings and emotions, but developing a higher sense of EQ and being comfortable with whatever your vibe is. That's kind of my take on it, but I want to give the floor to everyone else to kind of, you know, keep this train rolling.
No, I guess as we continue, as I said about the whole magazine thing, and then a great example, Josh, by the whole Music Soul Child thing, song. TJ, as you described earlier about your transition, and you saying that you went to a more masculine appearance. Well, can you explain to us what's your definition? What's your viewing of what is masculinity? I guess we'll kind of go around the table what that is, and then we can kind of talk a little bit more how our quote unquote definitions even affect those two photo shoots or the societal view of masculinity.
Yeah, I think for me, there's a difference between gender identity and gender expression. So I put like being masculine as a way that you can express that gender identity that you have, or being feminine as a way that you can express the gender identity that you have. So for me, it's more so like masculinity is being able to be a provider. It's being able to, you know, take care of those that you value, being able to, you know, not have to be the strongest person in the room, but know your worth. And it's not so much about having to prove yourself to others or to prove yourself to even yourself, but it's just a state of being that you know within your own self that you're confident, that you're capable, and that you're courageous. So I like to see all those aspects of, like, of course you can generalize them to being a human being in any kind of aspect, but I think with masculinity, it's being able to hold on to those notions of, I can, you know, be strong in more than just my physical aspect, but in my emotional aspect and in my mental aspect. So that's kind of how I see it.
Okay. I like that. Josh, you want to go or you want me to take this?
Go ahead and I'll follow up because I just spoke. So,
okay. When I think about masculinity, it's twofold, right? I grew up one way. And I grew up very much, and I'm Hispanic, so for all our viewers or listeners, they don't know me or haven't seen a picture of me, I am Hispanic. So I kind of grew up in this machismo lifestyle where a lot of the men in my life, they're like from Nicaragua. So like they have this mindset where like I'm the man of the house. I take control, take orders. Kind of a little bit what Josh was describing earlier with his way of defining masculinity. So I kind of grew up that way. My dad's very strong. Actually, a lot of the men in my family, very strong-willed. I wouldn't say like they were like abusive or showing any abuse of power or anything like that, but they did I don't want to say express their dominance, but it was very much known that they were the man of the house. They were seen as like the breadwinner. They kind of made like final decision. It was like, if I ask my mom for anything, oh no, go ask your dad. Like if I wanted to go on a field trip or I need some money or anything like that, if I wanted something, it was always whatever my dad said. So I kind of, that's how I grew up. So that's how I imagine masculinity. But then in growing, and especially like, I, if anything has taught me about college is like that's where I grew as a person. Whether I got a degree that's helped me further in my field or whatever or not, I think college was great for me just because I grew. And I don't know. I don't think I have a definition of masculinity. Like all that, what TJ was saying and what society said, like I don't think there is something, there's no term or no words that can describe masculinity or like femininity. Like when I think of how I act is like, okay, right now, like as we said earlier, like I'm a father now. So am I having this protective, I'm very protective of her and my wife. Is that because I'm masculine or just because like me as a person, I'm a protecting person. I want to make sure they're safe at all times. But at the same time, how I dress you, I don't know if people think I dress masculine. Like I wear slim, skinny jeans. I wear very loud clothing. Like I don't like black or white, like anything like that. Like if you look at my shoes, like I'm looking, I have like bright highlight yellow, but then I have these pink shoes and rose and purple shoes. And like, I prefer like colors. I prefer all that. And my shirts are the same way. So like, I kind of stand out. And I even remember growing up in middle school and such was like, oh, like you can't wear pink. Men can't wear pink. You're a boy, you don't wear pink. And I used to rock pink shoes. Like I would get the Converse when Converse was huge and I would like have them and wear them. And I don't care. Like it's what I like. Earrings. I have six piercings and I like not to even like, I'm not trying to like toot my own horn or anything, but I remember I got earrings before it was almost a thing. I got in like in fifth grade. Like it was very much like, my cousin was doing it. At my house, and then I walked by, and it was like, "Hey Jay, you want it?" And my dad is asking. My dad has earrings too. And he's like, "Oh, you want your ears pierced?" And I was like, "Oh, I can." He was like, "Yeah." And I had the left ear pierced first. And then I remember everybody was like, "Well, you're a boy. You're going to get your left one. If you get your right one, that's gay." And then like the year after, I got my right ears pierced because I was like for me growing up, I kind of don't let rules define me. I'm always kind of like the outcast or like I want to be the outlier. I just do my own thing. And then it became then, you know, people were getting two earrings. Then I got the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth. And I kind of stopped there. And so like basically what everything I'm saying is kind of like I don't let anything bound to me. And I guess this could kind of go very similar to the episode previously and what TJ was saying about like gender identity and gender fluidity. Like I don't let masculinity or femininity flow in me. I just kind of do what I want, and like kind of what I'm like how I my style and such is almost considered what like metrosexual, right? Because I even like the tight suits, right? Like the European cuts, I really love those like suits. They look really clean, but it's like, oh, that's kind of almost like bordering the line there. That's like the non-offensive ways. Oh, that's European, right? Like Europeans wear that way. So that's like it's still masculine, yeah. But it's a way to kind of cover it up a bit. It's just this European lifestyle. It's like I don't care. I think it just look cool. But I don't know. I just don't. I kind of just live my own way.
No, but Jay, I think you bring up a
really good point.
Oh,
no, TJ, do your thing.
No, I think you bring up a really good point, Jay, of like it being so fluid and being so many, you know, options of being able to explore what masculinity is. Because for one person, there are 8 billion people on the planet. Less than half of them are men. So not all of these people are going to agree with what masculinity looks like. And it's going to be something different for every person. Like as a society, depending on what society you live in, it has certain parameters of what you should do and how you should act and behave. But we gender ridiculous things. Like we add colors, we add gender to colors. We add gender to, you know, different behaviors. We add gender to clothing. We even add gender to like the type of beverage you're going to pick at a restaurant, whether you get a beer or a wine.
You don't want that girly drink. That's what they say. If you get like a cocktail, right?
Right, exactly. Right. The one with the little tiki and an orange slice on it. Good.
But it's tasting good though.
So we add gender to all these things. And then we're just like putting people in these boxes of like, this is where you should, this is how you have to be in order to fit into this man box. And if you step out of that man box even just a little bit, then your masculinity is called into question.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very valid, realistic follow-up. I'm going to talk a little bit from my experiences growing up because, I have a very fundamentalist upbringing, and it took a lot to not just be confident in my own masculinity, but understand that that's just not the, that's just one box, especially when it comes to masculinity can be based on so many different aspects. It can be the environment that you're in. It can be the location that you live in. It could be religious based, right? Because especially in the Bible, like there are very clear roles when it comes to how a man is supposed to operate, how a woman is supposed to operate. And it creates this, I really think it creates this patriarchal kind of environment that we have here in often ways, because the Genesis story about how a woman was created from man, from a rib, that really creates this kind of pseudo-dominance, if you will, that I think people have kind of carried forward that is, I'm just going to say, nonsensical. But I think masculinity in a lot of ways is not just a series of actions or behaviors or style. I just think it's energy, right? Because if you just said yin and yang instead of masculine, feminine, then I don't think that there would be a lot of issues with kind of what these traits are. In a lot of ways, masculinity, femininity should probably be balanced. You should be equal parts a listener as you are a talker. You should be equal parts assertive as you are, you know, introspective and reflective. Strength manifests itself in so many different ways. It's not just about being physically strong or mentally strong. It's about being vulnerable as well, and being upfront and earnest about it and where you are at that particular point in time. There's two sides of the same coin, and I think that's really what masculinity is to me. It's just one side of the coin that you can't just shrug off the other side.
Okay. Different. I like that we all got different reasonings and experience for that. But based on like what we all said, like what do you both think about that magazine cover and like kind of like the drama that came with it?
I really think it was just people having this guttural reaction to something that seems unfamiliar to them. So like seeing a man being quote unquote effeminate or, you know, wearing colors that are flashy is something that is very much like the magazine covers knew what they were doing when they were, you know, posting these pictures and having them a part of the ad because they knew it was going to attract some attention, whether negative or positive. So I think like just seeing Jonathan Majors or seeing A$AP Rocky, you know, take a backseat, quote unquote, as a man in the photo, it doesn't emasculate them for me. It's just showing these are just other aspects of what a man can do and how a man can look. They're still men. So they're just expressing themselves in ways that may not seem conventional to society, but it's still an aspect that humans have. Like every human has emotions. Every human can be, you know, soft. So they're just showing that one side, like that one aspect of the coin that Josh was talking about. That's really all it was.
I love it. Non-conventional. Love that. That's exactly, that's the best way to put it, at least how I see it. But Josh, what do you think about that, especially as someone who you love Rihanna? So definitely want to hear this from on your end.
So the first thing I'm going to say is that Rihanna was the cover piece, not A$AP Rocky in it. So I mean, at the end of the day, A$AP Rocky didn't have to be in the cover, period. Like, this was Rihanna's show, right? And so for him to actually be included is almost very telling about the story that they wanted to portray, not necessarily when it comes to being beta or anything like that. I don't think it was a negative connotation at all. I think it was the role of supportive father, supportive partner, and those are actually masculine traits. right? Or things that we want to consider masculine in the grand scheme of society. One who takes care of the family or who is supportive. But at the end of the day, I think what people have pushback on is that ASAP is not the breadwinner from a financial standpoint. And so Rihanna being pushed as the, I guess, primary person in the cover almost brings this narrative of this agenda that black men have been constantly and consistently emasculated over the years in media. And not just in media, but I would even say from points of abuse, whether it was like well in the past when we're talking slavery, when we're talking a lot of points of segregation, racism, the entire spectrum and all the forms in which it's manifested itself over the years, even systemically, that black men have often had to be very rigid in their approach just to, in a lot of ways, just honestly stay sane. And there's a lot of introspection and conversation that just needs to happen in general about what being a black man is about. Because some of the pushback you hear is that it's about the clothing that he's wearing. It's about him taking a back seat. But those things shouldn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, in my opinion. And when it comes to Jonathan Majors, I think that was an awesome side of expression. I don't think that, I mean, it obviously, like, you have gender reveals and you go blue or you go pink, and that's supposed to be this denigration or this delineation between sexes, right? But I mean, shoot, my wedding ring is rose gold. It has a rose gold element to it, and that's basically a shade of pink, isn't it?
I love rose gold, but yeah, it is pink, right?
Fire color. Hey, my double chain, rose gold. It's fine with me. Like, I don't really care about the aesthetics. It may not be my style, but I'm not gonna say like it's negative or anything.
No, I remember a few years ago when iPhone had that rose gold iPhone. I had that color. I thought it was raw as hell.
Fresh.
It was clean.
Fresh. Yeah. Go on.
No, go ahead. I'll let you finish. I actually want to piggyback on you, but go ahead.
So I think there's a lot of, like, quote unquote barbershop talk, right? Where you have like the fabric of masculinity, and oftentimes I have these conversations with other men and they feel like their values are being compromised. And I always question where these values really come from. Because, like I said, historically masculinity has changed quite often. And this just seems like another one of those crossroads that's actually leading to more liberation as opposed to rigidity. And I don't know if people are very cognizant of that direction, but there's a very conservative, and I don't mean that in a political sense, I just mean that in a very, like, cut and dry sense, that change is very tough for people to kind of grasp. And this is just kind of one of those moments.
Okay. To piggyback on both you guys, with the whole ASAP Rocky thing, I thought, like, you know, you're right. This was showing ASAP as the supportive partner on this end. And you know what? What's wrong with you supporting your woman or you're supporting your significant other? Like,
well, to add to that, what's the stereotype you get, right? Like, black men dips or black men, right? Don't support his kids, and then all of a sudden this is glorified.
and you know, like we're not gonna go ahead and disrespect ASAP. Like, he's not like this icon, right? He's before Rihanna, he was a fashion icon. Like, he was known to be a trendsetter. Anyone who loves Travis Scott, look back. Travis Scott bit off of ASAP with the style, right? With the, whether it's clothing, braids, like, look, ASAP, to me, ASAP's a trendsetter. I love ASAP, love his music. And I know he hasn't made that much music in a while, but that's because he dove into the fashion world. And so he's uber successful in his own right, and he's not being a bum or anything like that. He says, you know what, like, I have probably different passive incomes, and I know that my partner Rihanna, she's uber successful, super duper successful, right? One of the few colored women billionaires. And you know what, to help her with her success, instead of hiring a nanny, I could take care of my own kid. Like, what's wrong with that? He's not, like, he's probably still working too, man. He's probably still doing his own thing. Mm-hmm. But because he's not, what, the breadwinner? And that's the problem. And as we move from what I want to consider, I've never heard this before. I just thought of it as both you guys were talking. We live in a fluid society now. We're going toward a fluid society. Whether this is like gender. I know we talk about gender fluidity. Now we're talking about, like, masculinity, femininity, like, what's that? Like, to me, that's fluid as well. The old way of thinking, the old mindset, the old masculine mindset, they're fighting back right now. They're very much. And great example for any of my podcast listeners who love podcasts, who like watching maybe the video podcast as well, listen to Fresh and Fit podcast. This is a man right here. Oh, look at that. TJ know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I showed Josh a clip, and like, this guy, I don't know his name. I don't listen to the podcast, but every now and then, like, if you go on like YouTube Shorts, IG Reels, TikTok, like, they pop up. And I guess because I'm trying to get tips and stuff from podcasting, but they pop, like, this guy pops up and he's doing his damn hardest to show you, like, the old masculine way is, like, that's the way. Like, well, females with high body counts, we don't want that. A real man don't want that, because it lowers the your appeal, like, me, you becoming more of an appeal, or if you're older, maybe you can't have kids. So, like, I can't be with someone who's like, your role is a birthing person, something that that's what I said previously. Like, oh no, you're too old to have kids. So, like, nah, you're kind of losing some appeal. And this guy keeps talking about, like, this is the man's way of thinking. I'm like, no, like, that's not the man's way of thinking. Or something that's very much relatable to me is this one guy in another podcast. The female, she said, will you teach your daughters the game of a man? Meaning, like, make sure you, like, he never gets played or anything. And the guy said, if you mean, like, her role and stuff, I'm a teacher that she, you know, she needs to get a man when she's older. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I, as someone who has a daughter, I'm going to make sure she never gets played. Like I know how I was at that age. I know how my friends were at that age. Like, I'm going to teach her game. Like, you're not going to fall for this. And you don't need a man. You don't need to fall into this female stereotype, because you don't, you're not going to rely on anyone. You're going to rely on yourself. So why is a feminine perspective or feminine characteristic is to rely on someone, rely on the opposite gender? Or, I mean, again, these are old school ways of thinking these guys are having. So it's, you know, they probably think that it's either male or female. They don't think of the other way of identifying yourself. And it's, to me, it's becoming like almost like what we were talking about earlier, toxic masculinity, where they're the minority and they're becoming the vocal minority, and they're going to be very loud. Where, no, back in the day, this man, a man will have 20 wives, 20 concubines, and we're having sex, and there's a reason for it, and there's a reason why. After the war, men will come and they're paraded and showered with all this glory because, like, you know, we ran society, and notice how the economy was downfalling because we weren't there. We was over there fighting for your freedom and such. And it's complete, like, as someone who I don't have a label what masculinity or femininity is, but as someone who's now a father, like, I don't want to teach anyone like that. And I commend ASAP Rocky, because it's one thing to be a bum and just living off your partner. But another thing too, like I'm probably gonna take a step back from my career to excel your career. Because if you eat, we eat. If I eat, we eat. Like we're a team. It's a team mindset that I think a lot of people don't want. Like me and my wife, we talk about like we're a team. Like if I get a raise, well, we're making more money, right? Like it's our money. It's always ours. And it's like before, so I'd be like, no, like I do this or you do that, or like, you know, the men do all the bills, right? And for me, my wife used to work at a bank, so she's really good with numbers. So it's like, okay, well, here's the money for the bills. You kind of handle that, right? But I'll kind of handle the other things. So it's just like fluid. Everything's fluid. And then with Jonathan Majors, like I almost agree with him. And like he's relatable to me because he's doing, like, I would rock those colors. I would, you know, I like R&B. I love R&B, right? And then I like, you know, every now and then I like girl movies, chick flicks. You know, sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're not, but you know, but like I like certain things, and he's just like, look, man, I kind of do my own thing. And it's funny because like everyone's talking about how bad about, like in the beginning, all the controversy, Jonathan Majors, you're soft, all the toxic males, you're soft, you're going against us, blah blah blah. And then we won't go into too much in this, but there are allegations against Jonathan Majors in regards to a domestic dispute. The same people, the same men who believe in this toxic masculinity, who are against Jonathan Majors, are like his biggest supporters. Why? Because now he's kind of showing masculine trait. He put his woman in his place, if that's the case. So, like something like he's asserting authoritative attributes. So because of that, we're going to support him now. And if I'm Jonathan Majors, I don't want, if you're going to trash me before, don't join my side this time. Like, cause I'm not promoting what you guys are going for.
Yeah. I feel like it comes from a giant place of fear of people being afraid of like, they're going to be replaced. So even going back to like, you know, just having ASAP Rocky be in the background of the photo, they think that women are now taking over the spotlight. And that men are not going to be able to have their spotlight back. No, you're still the majority of earning the bread. You know, you're still being paid more than a woman gets earned. Like, that's still a reality. You still have more rights than women do. So no one is taking anything away from you. You're just trying to give other people more rights and privileges. And it's not taking away from, like, what both of you have shared about how you view masculinity. That is what being a man is, being able to be centered within yourself, that you can, no matter what the outside looks like, it doesn't matter. Like, you can express yourself however you are, because you're centered in what you stand for as a human being. And I feel like people that have to assert themselves in that way to be derogatory towards women, they have this fear of they're just not comfortable within themselves. And they have this fear of, I'm going to be seen as less than because I'm not the one that's asserting myself and asserting my dominance.
So TJ, what would you say to those people that you're a transgender male and it's like, well, what do you know about masculinity? Like, what's your response to that? Well, you know, well, since you have a different perspective than me and Josh.
Yeah, I would just say that masculinity is anything that anyone can experience. It's not tied down to a body type. So the way that I experience masculinity is just going to come from, it's going to come from different, you know, ways of that I was brought up, because I was socialized as a girl growing up, but I still had masculine figures in my life, you know? So I know a lot about masculinity the same way I know a lot about femininity. And it's really just what I chose to express more and felt more comfortable sitting with. That's where that difference comes in.
TJ, I think that's incredibly aptly put. I go back to this notion of control when I hear both of your takes on how men who are probably actually demonstrating traits of insecurity are attempting to kind of reestablish their, like you said, TJ, dominance over another group. it's a very paternalistic environment that we live in, and a lot of these roles are based on that. And to flip even toxic masculinity, toxic femininity is largely based on toxic masculinity. The notion that, you know, females, women should be in the kitchen, or should be the more nurturing of the two, or have to establish this role of passiveness, right?
The housewife.
Exactly, right? Like the stay-at-home mom archetype, right? Like stay-at-home dad is almost like an insult, if you will.
Which is what people are saying about ASAP, right?
Right.
Essentially so. And I guess, you know, this paternalistic environment that we have is a recipe for some very dismissive opportunities, right? Because you don't necessarily explore some of the inner workings of emotions, because to your point, Jay, like machismo is kind of like a very standard archetype that was in the past and still kind of manifests itself forward, or in Western/Eastern environments, right? Like the mysterious James Bond archetype that people like admire all the time, right? Those are very toxic scenarios both ways.
And you know what? In those countries, I'm pretty sure it's still exactly the same. Of course, third world countries are just like the third world for a reason, like developmentally. But I'm pretty sure with the same, like that, they still have this mindset, this archaic mindset, if you will.
Yeah.
That's how deeply ingrained it is in us. Like, because we're taught this through birth. Like, even before the child is born, the first question is it a boy or a girl? So immediately, like, that thought of, okay, who are you going to be comes up. And then mm-hmm. you have all this pressure of, if I'm a man, this is how I have to be. If I'm a woman, this is how I have to be. And so it just wears on you. It's so deeply internalized.
It is. Yeah. I mean, in our group chat, me and Josh's group chat, like there was a lot of people were saying some like toxic traits of masculinity, and like they're like, oh no, because it's the old way of thinking. I'm just sitting back reading it. I think I was busy at work one day, and I'm just reading it. I'm just like, man, like you really are just going like way back. And the response was, oh, you know, this is how men were treated back then. It's always back then. I'm like, yeah, you're saying the keyword every time. It's back then. It's like, oh no, not now. So because if someone has the opposite, if I'm expressing opposite characteristics, so you think of me less as a man. If anything, I think of myself like, I don't like, if you want to label me, I think I'm way more of a man, because I guess I'm a provider, right? Like I provide for my child, and I do everything like for my family, and I'm a protector. So like I guess those are kind of male characteristics, but I wouldn't even consider myself like masculine. I don't know, but like I guess because I love like I love like again, like I said earlier, I like R&B, but I love a lot of female artists. So like I remember growing up, a thing was, if you're gonna sing like a female song, you don't say like, if she says boy, you're gonna say girl, right? You're gonna make it so it's a little masculine, right? It's a little more like maybe it's a male R&B yeah. singer singing instead of a. And I mean, I didn't care. Like I loved Alicia Keys. Like I love. Like, you know, I love Destiny's Child back then. I'm not too a huge fan of, like, Beyonce, but, like, I love, like, some of her earlier works when she went solo. Like, I love Dangerously in Love, and she's singing that to a guy.
It's a good song.
Yeah, great song. Like, Josh, you know, my favorite artist is Neo, and Neo writes for a bunch of people. So I remember, when I really started, like, really diving deep into him, and he's... And I found out he's a songwriter and he's writing for all these females, and I'm singing them, and it's like, people are like, well, whose song is that? I'm like, oh, it's Neo. And he's like, is he gay? Because he's like, is he gay? Are you gay? Because you're saying like he's singing to a, like about a guy, but it's because he wrote this for a female artist. And it's like, well, like, no, just, you know, just enjoy the song, right? It's a good song, regardless of whatever it is. But like people, I guess don't want to listen to, like, if you're a guy, you don't want to listen to female artists because it kind of lowers your masculinity a bit. Just kind of like, just don't think what everybody else thinking, kind of do you.
Yeah, like nobody's listening to your headphones. They can't tell what you're jamming to. Like it, but that's the pressure that we get put on us from society of like, you have to know that, you know, this is going to be detrimental if you don't fit into this box. If you do anything that is not showing that you're masculine by listening to, you know, female artists, then you're automatically, okay, your manhood's in the question. And it shouldn't be that way.
Definitely, definitely. And it, I mean, I'm even like circling back to like upbringing, whether it was like in sports or, you know, just in general, like, Jay, how many times were you told to just like suck it up? Or like,
man, to this day,
you know what I'm saying? Like, so like the expression of emotions had, or like that, or expression,
Josh, even a good one. Stop being a B about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So like that suppression of emotions has led to like a very lacking EQ when it comes to males, just because like that was how we were wired, back to kind of what TJ was talking about like birthing experience and then like how you're raised and like the environment in which you're raised in. It raises a lot of questions that you have to really think about introspectively and like really reflect on to think, all right, is this like healthy? And oftentimes it takes therapy to even like realize some of these things that have maybe transpired in the past and how it's manifesting itself to this day. There's a lot more that needs to be talked about in terms of this, because I think this is really like uncharted waters in a lot of ways.
Man, I hate that we limit our podcast to about like an hour, because I feel like this is just something we could just keep going and going.
Talk about this for days, man.
Yeah, like this, like if with this topic, or whether we did like the J.K. Rowling, or we did like the cancel culture, we did the Wakanda Forever, like we're just limiting ourselves for an hour, and it's like, man, we could just keep going on and on. Like it is funny, when we stop recording, we do have these conversations off air, and it's just constantly every day, and it's just, again, it's just funny. Like, I just wish we can keep on going and going, but we know when we got to cut ourselves off sometimes, or we just keep doing this.
Yeah, I mean, growth just doesn't exist past this this episode. I mean, hopefully we've given people an opportunity to at least think a little bit differently, or at least consider, you know, what we've talked about and figure it out for themselves. You know, whether it's one way or another is no big deal, no pressure. That's not really our intent. It's just a matter of kind of raising this topic, raising this discussion, having multiple vantage points, and letting people think and discuss for themselves. Obviously, you know, we'll have avenues with which we can continue this conversation, whether it's our social media platform, and please follow that at @genuine_content spelled with a K. If you know, you know, is what it is from there. Genuine Content Podcast, once again, content with a K on Facebook. We've got it all. Obviously, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Google, you name it. We're on all major streaming platforms. TJ, we appreciate your insight. Thank you once again for joining us. Do you have any final thoughts?
Any closing thoughts?
Where can people find you if they want to tap into, you know, the educational resources that you're building, providing, and doing here for this for the great people?
Oh yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at bruhtj22. You can follow me there. You can also follow the Yes Institute. That's where I work. Yes Institute is just at Yes Institute on Instagram as well, or yesinstitute.org. And I just want to parting words, just to say, you know, just do you. Feel free to express yourself however way you feel fit, and don't let society limit you or put you in a box.
That's what's up.
Great way of saying it. I guess before, as we wrap up, I want to continuously thank everyone for listening, for being supportive to us, giving us feedback. I appreciate TJ for joining us, and TJ gave us a great perspective off air about what he felt about the J.K. Rowling episode. We did episode 3. I appreciate that. Tough episode, but I take any feedback. Want to shout out Donnie Blott. If you haven't heard it from episode 4, Month Madness, he did graciously provided us music for our intro outro. So if you want to listen to the full version of those songs, you can go on Apple Music, Donnie Blott, DonnyBlott, Those songs are fire, by the way. So I definitely want to shout them out. And I appreciate everyone. Just follow, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. We're going to keep on doing this, especially now that our major life events are not out the way, but as they pass and we're kind of growing accustomed to our new lifestyle, we're definitely going to be way more consistent with this. We're going to be pubbing like crazy on Instagram and all social media. So get ready for us.
Yeah, it's going to be nice to have a sense of normalcy with a lot of moving parts kind of subsiding, have a chance to kind of just relax and get into the real flow of things. And so definitely expect a lot from us in the upcoming days, weeks, months. We are going full steam ahead, all gas, no breaks. Thank you all once again, to Jay's point, for listening. You know, we hit triple digits on Spotify alone. That's a big deal for us. You know, we take every listen with the utmost importance. Please rate. Definitely tap into us. Interact with us on our social media platforms, because we want to keep these conversations going. They're very important to us. We think they're very important to society.
And if you want to be a possible guest, let us know. Hit us, slide in the DMs. And I will.
Is that masculine or feminine?
That's a good question, right?
The slide.
No label.
There it is.
But definitely, hit us up. We got someone already slid in our DMs, and we have a potential episode. Maybe we'll give a sneak peek. We want to work on a possible political correctness episode, and that was just given to us by a DM. So we didn't even think about that. So we'd like to, explore that even further. But if anyone else has any ideas of an episode, or you want to join us to talk to us about a particular topic, or maybe do a part two to any of the release content, again, let us know. We're down for any conversation, any healthy conversations.
Absolutely. We keeping it simple. We keeping it genuine. Obviously, genuine conversation, genuine vibes. Once again, this is the Genuine Content Podcast. We thank you all for listening. Jay, we've wrapped up another episode, man.